I returned from India, and when I completed in Durban, I stayed 1 year extra. Then I went to my favorite ustad, our Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Fakhruddin Saab, Rahmatullah Ali, Muradabadi. I asked him for some advice. Amongst the advice that he gave, that he said, make sure that you have Darse Quran Sharif every day. Tarjuma Quran Sharif. And for that, he said, use the Tarjuma of Shaykh al-Hind, Hazrat Mawlana Mahmood al-Hassan Saab Rahmatullah Alayh, called Quran Sharif. So when I came back, Allah put the effect of that, what was sincerity, Hazrat must have told. I came by ship back, the Karanja, it was the last trip of the Karanja. So I kept the Quran Sharif Tarjuma in my hand luggage. And then when I came back, we came Durban, the port, and from there then my three brothers came and fetched me, and with them we came. And those days cars were not so common, buckies were more common. So in a bucky. So anyway, we came, we reached home, it was late at night, we had to still make Isha, we made Isha. And the next morning we got up, then my younger brother Suleiman, he just passed away now. We two were staying together with my stepmother, Hafiz Farooq's mother. And Hafiz Farooq was there, he was a small boy. Then with him I started the next Thursday, Quran Tarjuma. And also it was my big desire to teach Arabic. So that also straight away I started with him, with Gardans and that.
Can I interrupt?
Sure.
You must stop that. I must stop that first part where you were in Jerusalem.
Oh, then we're going to go. We have to. Then we have to stay here 60 years now. lunch is not enough. 60 years we have to stay there. If you want to, I can start from there. In Germiston. Yeah, we're coming to Germiston. Yeah, we're still coming there.
It was a slum.
Yeah. We're still coming there.
So, the one doctor told me that the flower of, national flower of India is it's a very white flower. And it grows in the dirty Ganges River. So we want to know how this beautiful flower from that slum came up.
Allah make your dua, Allah accept your dua. Anyway, so it was primrose, it was a white area, those days of apartheid, which was just out of the slum of Germiston location. So Alhamdulillah, we started with Quran Tarjuma. And only Allah's fazl till today it's carrying on. And then the Arabic teaching, that Alhamdulillah, when we went then to Germiston location, we started my first student. I was very eager to teach Arabic. So I started with my brother, but that was part-time. He was working. And Maulana Ibrahim Pandor, he just completed his matric. And he wanted to learn Arabic, and I wanted to teach Arabic. So we started, the two of us. And that was in the back part of the masjid, Germiston Masjid. What Dr. Sapp is referring to, the location of Germiston, Asiatic Bazaar, it was called. In about 1930, the municipality of Germiston, they were somewhere nearer to town, the Indians. And they put them on a temporary basis there. And till the end, they were temporary. There was no sewage system, no tar roads, no water drainage or that also. Everything just flow on the road. And even the sewage, when the rainy season, everything is on the road. And you also walking on the road. Hazrat Ji Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he came to Jamustha. Allah's fazal. Allah gave tawfiq of the tarjuma. So Haji Bhai Padia used to appreciate very much. So because of that, he brought Hazrat Ji home. He sent me in Jamaat. I wasn't at home, but he brought. When Hazrat Ji saw the place, he said, "Ye Hindustan ka ek tukra Afrika mein rakh diya." One piece of Surat they put here of India into South Africa. So anyway, then I carried on. Then when I went there, that also for benefit of many of our youngsters who are still studying, particularly, this worry comes that where I'm going to teach when I'm finished, what I'm going to do. And insan, we worry of our rosy, where we'll get our rosy. So I came back, and the first Juma I made there, and I was there in Germiston. In fact, when I was in the perhaps the second year or the third year, we knew nothing still, and still we know nothing. But I had that jazwa, and I made bayans already, Eid, Juma. In fact, one Juma, few people might remember, those days almost every masjid, I think, the bidat of before khutbah time, the muazzin used to come first with the asa. And he should read, "Inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala nabi." After that, then the imam comes and sits on the minbar. So we learned, it's bidat. We heard from our ustad. So I said, I'll make Juma. So I sat on the minbar and I took the asa in my hand. Now he came and he wants to now start with his "Inna Allah wa malaikatuhu." So he wants to take the asa from my hand, and I'm not giving him the asa. And the whole Juma crowd is there, and they're seeing the tug of war there carrying on. So then he read it without the. Then Maulana Yusuf Pandor, Maulana Ibrahim Pandor's eldest brother, and alhamdulillah, I got a lot of training from him. He was old, he was experienced there, and I was teaching under him. So a lot of guidance we got from him. So he told me, he should have told me before I should tell him, he shouldn't do it. But anyway, Allah gave the jazba, so that also, since then, it was end. No more that in Allahu malaikatu. Then started teaching Arabic to Mali Ibrahim Pandor, then Mali Yusuf Durwesh, Mali Ahmad Durwesh brother, he came, then Qari Ismail came, marhum. And then more students started coming. Anyway, then the Quran tarjuma, we started there then, in Germiston, after Fajr, every day after Fajr. And today, alhamdulillah, that day, when I go for Fajr, the Quran is there, the desk is there. Those days, after namaz, I had to go and take the Quran. No, like khidmat and people putting the Quran for you or anything. You have to do it everything yourself. Put the desk there, get the Quran Sharif. And not 1-2 days, it carried on. It wasn't in the mizaj of the people that we must make, put it ready, put it down. So that carried on. And that's why I'm mentioning this, is that I appeal to everyone, ulama especially, must have Quran tarjuma. Maulana Ibrahim Devla, once we were speaking, he said that you must teach. He said the benefit I got from teaching, great benefit. Quran, tarjuma, the benefit that we will get. And one time, we were in Azadville, and Allama Khalid Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali of England, he had come. So he was staying in the Darulum. So after Fajr, he saw I'm not there. So asked, "Where is he?" "He's not here for Fajr." So they told him he goes to Jami Masjid for Quran tarjuma. So he became so happy. He says, wherever Quran tarjuma takes place, tafsir, from that point right to the heavens, Noor, there's a column of Noor. And that Noor spreads all four sides. Muslims and non-Muslims benefit. Human beings and animals benefit. The earth, the ground, the water, everything benefits from it. So Allah's kalam. And the most benefit is you yourself. you have to study your what you're going to speak, that 2 ayats, 3 ayats. You can't just go in Quran. It's my conviction, no matter, you can be the most greatest alim. Quran, you have to see again. You can't do it on your own, just that what I know is enough. You have to refresh everything. So you have to refresh it. And by refreshing it, and you speak to students, many technical terms you don't have to explain. The students understand. You just say the word and they understand what you are saying. But with the public, and Quran Sharif is Quran Sharif to explain it, so you have to explain it at the level of the public. To explain Quran Sharif to ulama is much more easier than explaining it to the public. And many the ulama will accept many things also. The public, you first, before you want to make your statement, you have to make the zehn first. Get them to understand. You have to give examples. So the amount of benefit will benefit. So we will get. So one, I appeal that every masjid must have Quran tarjuma. Every alim must do Quran tarjuma. Now every alim won't be able to do in every masjid. There may be 10 alims in a masjid, and all 10 can't do. So if the one can do like after Fajr, the best time is after Fajr. In the Quran al-Fajri, kana mashhuda. That's the best time. Another alim can do once in a week, twice a week, after Maghrib, after Isha. That will be a different group of people that will come. Yeah, a different group will sit after Fajr. They're a different group. And if we can't manage that, then have it at home. Inform your neighbors, your friends, that we'll have Quran tarjuma. And many ulama do that in India, Pakistan. After Fajr, at home, they have Quran tarjuma, they have a session. And if we can't do that, do it with your own family. And if you can't do that, at least your own self. Every day, 2-3 ayats, just go through them. Fix your time that I have to do this. From Quran, the greatest benefit we can get is from Quran Sharif. And as far as the listeners are concerned, yeah, in Azadville, there was a principal, Farooq Seth, Fahim Seth's brother, who is in the burial committee, his eldest brother. So he was a principal of the school. But he should study every day the ayats that we were going to do. So he says, when I look at the ayat, I don't understand what's happening. When you explain it, I can't understand how it just falls in place. Now you just understand everything. So the listeners will benefit if they also make little mutala. And after him was Dr. Jina, Abdul Hamid Jina, marhum. He also used to study first. And the other benefit will be, there was a group of doctors in Azadville who should make their own Quran halqa. They read one ayat and everyone gives his own opinion. And they don't regard Maulvis as anything. They are doctors. But alhamdulillah, it wasn't long that this just fell through. When the haq will come, the batil will vanish. And you didn't have to tell them one word also. They just had to stop. When they, if you got a candle on and the lights come on, you have to put off your candle. You can't keep the candle burning. The candle feels shy now. That I'm burning in this bright light, what am I doing here? So that is one request for especially the ulama, Quran tarjuma. And for everyone, today, one of the most mazloom on which we have done the greatest zulam is Quran Sharif. We as Muslims, we don't read Quran Sharif. As we are sitting here, many jayyid hafiz, but how much Quran are we reading? And tilawat Quran is matloob. Now we are in the middle of last year Ramzan and the coming Ramzan. So everyone, the minimum demand of the Quran, the right of the Quran, which Imam Abu Hanifa explained, to make at least one khatam in the year, one khatam minimum in Ramzan, and one khatam minimum during the year. Now each one of us think, how far am I with my Quran Sharif? Am I around about 15, 17, 18 para, or am I not there? There are, mashallah, very few, I think, who are sitting, who have, every month they make their khatam. They make 3 khatams a month also, more also. But vast majority, we are teaching Bukhari Sharif, but we are not reading Quran Sharif. We are teaching Hifz class, but the Ustad himself is not reading Quran Sharif. To read Quran. And after reading Quran, for an alim to read what tadabbur, the meaning, and to go into the depths and anywhere, and you will pick up. You can't make out what is happening here, or what's here. Go and see the tafsir, and see the amount of benefit that a person will get. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali say once he was making Zohar Namaz. He should make Imamat himself. And I was reading, he said, Surah Muzammil. Who will read Muzammil in Zohar Namaz? Sometimes I have to ask the students what they are reading. So fast they go, that what are they reading? And he says, the amount of knowledge, ulum, that was coming into my heart, I couldn't control, manage it. My heart, I had to shorten my namaz. Otherwise, I was thinking I will die. So much of ulum was pouring into my heart. And then he said, after that, I made muraqabah, that from where is all this coming? He said, from Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Qasim Nanotvira. Tawajjuh was making on him. But anyway, Quran Sharif, Maulana Thanvi gives the example, a person who swims for 100 meters, a race or whatever. So he's just on the surface. And another person swims and he goes into the depths. And he takes out what there is in the water at the bottom, especially the sea, the pearls, the oysters, what beautiful scenery there is, what and what Allah has created. So one person just was on the surface. So a reader of the Quran, one is who's just on the surface, and one is who goes into the depths. Maulana Abdul Nadeem Shasa, Rahmatullahi, visited us a few times. So he should normally start his bayan that now I will dive into the ocean of the Quran and I will take out the pearls and present them to you. And what pearls there in the Quran, we can never fathom. And the more a person devotes himself, the more Allah will open it on you. So Quran Sharif Tarjuma, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And then he carried on. And then when we came to Azadville, in Germiston, I completed 15 paras, 18, 17 and a half, roundabout there. So we told them we'll start here. When we came to Azadville, the Jamaat, the Mutawalli people, were not so happy that we came there. Because they were in control of all madrasas, masjid, only one masjid, Jami Masjid, and the madrasa. Now we're starting something different. In our town, if somebody new comes, he's an outsider, and he starts his own thing, we what's happening? Why is he starting something? So they were not happy. But we understood, every person must have that who is the starting something new? Is it the right thing? Is he doing the wrong thing? We should have that worry. So for that, alhamdulillah, to try and appease them, I told them we'll have Quran Tarjuma. That made them calm down quite a bit. So then we were not still starting, still settling down, and they were demanding all the time. You said you're going to start. When are you going to start? You say you're starting, you're not starting. Then we started, and alhamdulillah, that proved very beneficial for the town generally. Quran Tarjuma, there are many messages we have to give the public. But we give it from our side, they say he told. When you give it from the Quran, the Quran says. Now you haven't got an option, you have to accept it. Quran Sharif says so. So there are great, great benefits. Then also my ustad told me, dars of hadith also, at some time. So before we are doing it after Maghrib, but now we are doing it 5 days, 4 days a day, a week, Quran Sharif, and 3 days, hadith, Riyadhus Salihin. That also is very, very beneficial hadith. Whether it's Riyadhus Salihin, Targhib, or Imam Bukhari's Adabul Mufrad, or any kitab, Munzari's Targhib, or the other Targhib is, the other one, whatever, do a hadith kitab also. So that is one request. Then, we started with the Arabic classes. And Maulana Ibrahim Pandur was the first student, other students came. Then alhamdulillah, only by Allah's fazl, we were teaching and we didn't even regard it. We had reached till about Shari Wiqaya, more few students came. And other ustad, Maulana Abu Bakr Umar, he's quite ill, made dua for him. Then Maulana Suleiman Pandur, He also should help us. Mani Yusuf Pandor, he should also teach. So one time Maulana, when Muhammad Ikhalwa Yasab, one of the old ulama, who are genuine ulama, he was a real great alim. He was in Springs. So, and he had close contact with the Pandor family. So one day they were talking. So he says, this all is happening. He said, there is a Darul Uloom running here. And nobody of us, even me, we never even think it's a Darul Uloom. He said, there is a Darul Uloom running here. Tell Sharif Wiqai already, Tadim is taking place. So anyway, then more students wanted to come, in which was Mani Abdul Rahman also. And then another thing is, when I started there, it was around the end of February I started. And Ramzan was that year, round about June. So when June came, I encouraged my students in the maktab. I was teaching maktab. And also Allah's fazal, teaching the maktab. And the first period I had to go to the students, Alif Ba'atata. So Allah gave me opportunity to start from there and carry on all further. So then I encouraged the students who want to become hafiz. So that Ramzan came, the first Ramzan, 28 students came. They want to become hafiz. But then it sifted out and we were left with about 10. And then that class carried on. What teaching maktab also? I used to teach the hifz class. But then afterwards when the door also came, so I told them, can't manage now both. Just leave me to the maktab, to the hifz. And that carried on. Then other students came. Mali Iqbal Jina, Mali Muhammad Amin Suji, my nephew Mali Yahya Isaac, Mufti Zubair Bhayat, 5 students they came. And Germiston, I tried very hard that the Jamaat must make more facilities, because now more students for their staying and classes, etc. But it was something new and to take the big responsibility. And whether it will work out or not. So they didn't. And then that was quite a while. Then finally, alhamdulillah, Allah opened the way for Azadwa. We went there. And there in Germiston also, I stayed about 10 years as the imam also and teaching also. Many people were very surprised. How come you stay 10 years in Germiston? There, imam never lasts so long. And basically, there is another very important point as imams, if we learn at this point. Coming out of the masjid, those all type of masjids, not our type of masjids of today now. When you come out, then the out of the masjid door and the back door of my house were just like together. So as you just go in there. If you walk, there was a passage about 10 meters. Then you come out on the street, the pavement, the people. Then all people, the pavement, panchayat club is everywhere. And they're all making panchayat there. And there they will take out all type of things. Then you can't last as an imam. Today, Manana, you said this is not right. That is not right. You can't take it. Now, I should never hear those things. So I was just there. So alhamdulillah, we stayed about 10 years. In fact, the staying was so much that when I was now leaving, they gave me a reception. The principal, Ma Yusuf, was surprised. He said, now, why are they doing this for you? Are they going to do it with every ustad? And they gave me a present also, a wall clock, which was out of the norm completely. But because staying so long, and then one other little point, when I was there, a Jamaat had come. And in that Jamaat was my elder brother also. So then I offered them food. And Germiston was a place where people wouldn't just make khidmat or nusra. It wasn't just in their mizaj. But now as the imam, I felt it my duty. So then when I offered them food, I had to sit for their program. And when I heard what they got to say, I said, no, this is some very, very... We never were exposed to tabligh work. While we became alim, and that time work wasn't as it is today. Very little. So then, alhamdulillah, I started getting involved in tabligh work also. And all the tabligh work also. And alhamdulillah, so much so, that was in 72. In 75 was a world ijtima. Hazrat Ji, Imam Panpuri all came. And by that time, we were quite involved. So much we were involved, some of us might remember Colonel Amiruddin. on whom Allah had pressed with very strong iman. When he came, the first time he came to South, long, very long ago, before even tabligh work started, he came by ship, Durban. Those days you had to fill in immigration forms. Purpose of visit, he was a colonel in the army. He rode there to conquer your country. They put him back on the same ship and sent him away again. When afterwards, many years, he came again. And then he gave a bayan in Kirk Street. That was the Merkaz that time, Johannesburg, Kirk Street Masjid. Qari Abdul Hamid Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, was there. When he gave bayan, maybe some of us heard, pun drop silence. What a bayan. Oh, he is forceful bayan as a colonel in the army. How he should give bayan. And his passion was to make non-Muslims Muslims. Whoever he met, that you came in this world of your own accord? No. You're going to leave of your own accord? No. The sun rises of its own accord? No. The moon rises of its own accord? No. Who does it? God. Read, La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Finish, he's Muslim now. And Hazraji should love him, the amount of people he made Muslims. In fact, when he came to Germiston, and there, those who saw Germiston only can understand what Germiston was. The houses, not all these big, big palaces that we have got today. Perhaps I think the whole of Germiston can fit in one or two of our palaces that we got so big. And you go in the back yard there, water flowing there, one family in this room, one family in that room, four or five families all just staying all together. So, he went, they told him there's people they will accept Islam. And he took me with. So the others, they complained, one and they didn't have breakfast. He said, that is why Allah is giving hidayat. You must sacrifice. Forget your breakfast. What is your breakfast? Hidayat of a person is much more important. He was, once we were with him in Lodium, and there was this Muslim brigade celebrating Milad, and the drums and all. Milad now. And all men, women together walking on the road and beating their drums and the Muslim brigade. So what is this? He says, they're back in Canada. He was in state lot in Canada. He says, we take a stick and hit them and send them all away. He was like a mizaj of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So then afterwards, they couldn't accommodate us in Germiston. And we went to Azadville. And there were many other options and we were looking at. But Allah opened the way, and we went there. And also, when we went to my Ustad Mufti Sanjalvi Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. And I told him, they also knew about it. So I can remember, and the Hazrat wasn't feeling well. So he called me in his bedroom, and other family members were also there. So then I asked him for some donation. He asked for a pillowcase. He brought a pillowcase and he put his hand in the pillowcase. What he put, how much he put, I don't know. I just kept it like that. And for the land of the Azadwal Madrasa, I was just putting all from the ulama I was collecting. From Hazrat Ji, Mawlana Masihullah Sahib, Rahmatullah, he's also shaykh there. Mufti Zainul Abideen, Pai Abdul Wahab, all of them, he took money and put it in there. The land for the madrasa was 132,000 those days for the whole madrasa land, which was for us a big amount, and now we had to raise that money. But just then, the road department was cutting a road, and it was passing right the front of the madrasa. And till today, if you go through the back gate towards the kitchen and the back, you'll see that fence is at an angle. Because that was where how the road was supposed to go. So near it was. And now when you get involved with the road department, you're knocking your head against the wall. They don't listen to anyone. They do their thing on their time, they do. So another person, white man, he offered us land behind the madrasa. He said, with the road department, you're not going to get, and your student numbers are increasing, you need more bigger place. So we bought from him quite a bit. For 150,000. And afterwards he sold us another piece, another 300,000. By the time that went through, then this got sorted out with the road department. And because they cut a small piece off, like a samosa size, a small piece, from 130, they brought the price to 12,000. From 132 to 12,000. And of that 9,000 is ulama money, our akabir, local ulama, all our ulama. And at that time, I remember Mali Ghura Saliji gave us 1,000 rand, which was a big amount for us. Otherwise, 20 rand, 50 rand, 15 rand, like that. We reached 9,000. We paid, and I kept that money separate. I didn't deposit it also. And when we paid with the same money we paid. And we added another 3,000. So Allah put all the barakat which we saw. And when the ijtima was taking place, then all the elders had come, by Abdul Wahab, all of them, they put the foundation on the day of the ijtima. After Jummah namaz, they put the foundation of the masjid and the classrooms also. So that carried on. Then another thing which is important that I thought I'll discuss now, it's not so much time, is that, when I came from India, it was my very keen desire to translate our Kabir's books into English. I felt that is a great need. We don't have to write anything from our side. The great work of our Montanu, all our great buzurgs, just there. And for that, I thought, let me do a course in journalism so I can improve on my English and I can do a better job, present a better product, the Kitab. So I applied, and then the reply of the university came. Journalism is a postgraduate course. You have to do a bachelor's degree first. So then I did my BA with UNISA so that I can get my journalism, I can do that. But by the time I finished my BA, 3 years, then the condition no more also was there. And by then, alhamdulillah, I had got so much involved in Tabligh, all that interest went out of me, of all that, of studying at university and all that. During that period, the Rand Afrikaans University, they had a seat for Islamic learning, a seat for Islamic, they had there the MYM, Muslim Youth Movement, so to give them information and teach them about Deen. But they realized we are targeting the wrong targets, that this is not real Islam. This is modern Islam. They were the modern people that time. All ulama at that time were one school of thought. What we will call today the Orthodox or the old Islam, all the ulama. And anyone had new ideas, it was never an alim, it was modernist. So this was the Muslim youth movement that time. So the university people, the only recognized Islamic institute was Miasfam, Vatifal Islamic Institute. So they went there to them and they told them that we realized we got this MYM, but they're not giving us the genuine Islam. And they didn't want the genuine Islam to accept, to make it the target. They aiming at the wrong target. They're aiming at the modern Islam, not the real Islam. So they asked them. And I had just finished my bachelor's degree there, university, and they knew me. So they say, we think you're the ideal person that you should go there to the university. I made mashura with Bhai Padi because I was fully in Jamaat work and only with mashura I should do my things. So he also said, go, it's an opportunity that we can introduce Islam, they will accept. We went with that niyat, but their niyat was how to find out the proper Islam and to destroy Islam. That was their niyat. So soon we saw all that of this. And then, alhamdulillah, I went for 1 year in Jamaat in the process. 1 year in Jamaat, in 75, in Hazraji and them came. Maulana Palanpuri made bayan in the ulama. And then I stood up the first, I gave my name, I'm ready 1 year. So he told me, you come here and you write the names of the others. So by that I started becoming closer to Maulana Palanpuri also. I went home, I told my wife, young woman still that time, about 19 or so. We got married, she was about 16. So then I told her that I gave my name. She immediately said, I'm also coming. And the way it was that moment, then I asked Hazraji was still here. He said, no. And against all usul, otherwise one couple, it won't accept a Jamaat, one couple. And also you haven't given time in Jamaat. So Jamaat usul, all that. But anyway, Hazrat said, it's okay, you come. And then also Allah's help. We went from here to Karachi first. And at the same time, six couples from England had come. And one couple from America. So it made us eight couples. So then we made a very good Jamaat. They had to hire a bus. We should travel by bus. And it had a great, great effect on Pakistan everywhere. And the local Pakistani responsible ladies, they also all joined. So it was a very good Jamaat. And wherever we went, it was like a big thing. So anyway, so, so I went to university for that purpose. But then after that, I did my 1 year in 76. And Allah made it possible how, till today, I can't understand, there's not time to explain. One car came in an accident and then I had to go. All that. And really, I'm shocked at myself that how I didn't have money. And I'm taking my wife with. And I'm going 1 year. But the whole year passed and I came back with change also. Only Allah knows how it happened. Still, I can't say. If I try and work it out on paper, it doesn't work out. But it happened. So anyway, we came back. Then 78, another 1 year I went again. This time only with men. And Jamaat, it was called the first year, India, Pakistan, to learn the work. Second year, Europe. Second year, Arab countries, to stay in the Arabs. But with the South African passport, those days in the apartheid, you couldn't go anywhere. No countries allowed South Africans to come. So then they send us to Europe. And where the Arabs are quite a bit in Europe, there we worked among the Arabs of the different Arab countries. In France, Belgium, Holland, all these countries. We spent a lot of time in Turkey also in that time. Haji Abdul Hay Kola, marhum of Leslie, who was close to him also. So he told me, by your giving your second year and that Darunum Star, he said, this is actually, you made that sacrifice as a gift from Allah. Allah gave you the Darul Ulum. Because you made that sacrifice, Allah Ta'ala gave you the Darul Ulum. And then we started with the Darul Ulum. And when we started also, it was in my heart until today. The shura we made, a committee of 10 members, all of them only ulama. And we gave preference to those who spend at least one chilla with some buzur or a chilla in jamaat. Those ulama we chose. And the people told us openly, this darum will never run until you don't have the prominent people of the area. Influential, rich people, business people, you don't have them on your committee, your work will never ever take off. But Allah's special carrying on stuff. So, then the university cut it out completely, and Allah gave us in place of that the Darul Uloom. And one benefit I got from going university is that I realized that there is no ta'lim, even in their field. When I was at when they went to Mia's farm, Haji Bhai Padia told me go, so I started with Rand Afrikaans University to go there, and they took me on as a teacher, professor. And my students were not regular students of a university, but the professors of Takis, Pretoria, Porch University, Wits University, they were the students who used to come. And they gave me a post as a reader, that is in a university system. But actually they used me to lecture to the professors. And that carried on there. But then when we went to Azadwal, then it was completely now fully ours here. What benefit I got is, like, for example, what we teach till today in our Darul Uloom, the first year students in 2 weeks, without exaggeration, they take 1 year to teach that. And my Arabic, because I just wanted that course, not to learn really, just to get to journalism. So I took Arabic, so it's not hard work, I've done that. All distinctions, everywhere, and all. And no studying, nothing. What was it? So I saw there nothing. And then when I was at Rand Afrikaans University, the professor told me that they registered me for a master's degree and for a doctorate. And all I had to do was to write two theses. That is all. I did my bachelor honors there at Rand. That was one thesis I wrote, and you got your bachelor. And as ulama, every Jummah talk is one thesis that you are writing. If you're giving on a big night or some other 1 hour bayan, that's like a very big thing. And that is what they are learning there. And that is in all the fields, not only in the Arabic and Islamic field. There is absolutely nothing in there. What compared to the ulum in our Darul Ulum, so what there is knowledge. And there is nothing there. And that is again punctuated with all waste of time, this sports and women, girls and all that dirty, filthy thing. That is that life. Yeah, it's a pure life. So that was one thing. That people, they say that you speak against the secular education schools. I usually say I think, the most qualified. Because I did the Alim course also in that field and the university course also. And I lectured at the university also. So I have seen both sides clearly. And I think that I'm more qualified to make a decision on this year. So anyway, our education from the childhood right through, Allah has given us. And Allah make it, we devote ourselves to that. That was started in Azadwal, 1392. Then 1987, English. Madrasa was running and Allah's fazal, Allah gave tawfiq, heart and soul was in the madrasa. Out of the 24 hours, perhaps 26 hours was in the madrasa. Just in the madrasa, whole time. All the work, everything, seeing to everything. Then this Barelvis came, they wanted to have a milad. And milad, it was completely out of the blue for us. In Azadwal, we were all like one school of thought. And now, why they want to come and provoke here? But it wasn't a thing of so much. I was so much worked in the madrasa work. Maulana Zahir Raghi was teaching with us that time. So he brought it to my notice. These people want to have a milad and we must oppose it. So I said, yes, we have to oppose it. We can't allow it. But I wasn't taking so much active part. Then he should come every time. Come, Maulana, we have mashara. We must go and meet this person. Do this work. So it carried on. Then when the time finally came that March, then that Saturday night they were going to have the Milad. And so the main organizer of the Milad, one Shafi Malik, he phoned me 11 o'clock. I was busy in the office. And told him, Maulana, why are you opposing us? We are doing Ishq-e Rasul, Muhabbat-e Rasul. I said, but you're doing it in the wrong way. He says, this is the way we do and how we do our milad and that. So then he offered me, he said, you come for a debate with us. And if you win the debate, we won't have the milad. And if we win, then don't object. Let us have the milad freely. So I said, fine, that's all acceptable. Then that night after Isha, Maulana Yusuf Ludhianvi Rahmatullahi of Karachi, Binnori town, was in the country and he was in Azadwal. He gave a talk in Jami Masjid. After the talk, I made the announcement, these people have invited us for a debate. Let us all go and all see the outcome of the debate you will all witness. So the whole masjid was quite full. Manana Yusuf Ludhianis Bani Bayan. So all of us, we went there. And till today, that's another thing I still can't understand. When we got there, they were about 30 people. We were all right, maybe about 300, 400 people. They got frightened or whatever it was. But immediately, live ammunition, they shot into the crowd. And how not a single person got a scratch. Nobody was injured. I still can't understand. And not one, two shots. How many shots? And another thing I still can't understand till today. One person, Bob Chacha, we should call him. Amiji, Ibrahim Bey Amiji, of the Amiji family. So, an old man. And the person who had the gun, he caught his hand and he took the gun from him. The same way Muhammad bhai Lunat, Rashid bhai Lunat Munawwar, Sajid, his uncle, Muhammad bhai, he was also an old man. He caught another person and took the gun from his hand. How, I don't know. From there, then we returned back to the masjid. By then, the police were here already. And they handed the guns over to them that these are those people's guns. Licensed gun on their names. So the evidence was fully in our favor. But where, Allah knows why and what, we didn't report to the police. They went and lay a charge against us that we went there to fight them. Whereas we were all unarmed. Nobody had arms. Arms they had. And they fired for short life ammunition into the whole crowd. They handed it to the police. That was the proof of it also. And those guns on their names, the license. So it was the proof was complete. But we didn't lay a charge. So they laid the charge against us. And the court case was carried on from 1987 to 2 years. And in that, for example, now they lay a charge against us, against me particularly, of murder. One person died, that I got blood on my hands, and I murdered that person. The person who died, then the pathologist report came. It was a total, not isolated, it had nothing to do with all this. This person, he was here, but he got frightened and he ran away. And he ran in that jungle area, like opposite when we enter Azadville now, where the garage is, before on both sides are this that empty land. And the road we enter now, that time there wasn't that road. We entered from Kakhiso, that side, and at the other end of, so this whole land, right through which is felt, till the other side also, that road, all that was felt. He ran away there and he ran. And according to the pathologist who was cross-examined by in the court, he said that this person could never have died with a punch if somebody punched him. He ran and he fell onto some solid rock, and the impact of the rock damaged his lungs, and from there he died. So it had nothing to do with this also. Anyway, so the court case, all the documents, alhamdulillah, over 1,000 pages. We got the whole copies which we have got till today. If anyone thinks that I'm saying, we can show it from the documents of the court, all the records. And in court, everything is tape recorded those days. Now must be more sophisticated. And everything is typed out also. It's in written form also. And we got the copies of that. In that court case, there was a person who lived opposite our house. He was in charge of the parks and sports grounds and that of Azadville. We didn't know before that. We met, we were very good, on good terms. But then we realized he was also on that side. So they were also against us. So that one Friday morning, he had to give evidence now. So when he gave his evidence, and then he came, and they paid him, state witnesses are paid by the state also. What money he got, he came and gave it in the Darul Uloom. Allah gave me the understanding that time. I made a receipt and I kept that receipt. When I was called in court to give in the witness box there, and they were cross-examining me, so I say, the man you people are charging us with, this is what he gave to the Darul Uloom. So the public prosecutor, he asked, what proof have you got? So I showed him the receipt there. And that turned the tables heavily in our side. Then there was one brother, Abdul Karim, he was in charge of the civic center. So he also had to give, but he had great respect and love for us. He was really very good abid, but on that side. But his ibadat, everything. So he also fully, he turned on our side. Dr. Riaz, what's his name, surname? On Azad Avenue. Dr. Riaz. Anyway, so he was also, when he came in the witness box, he was raving and ranting how he was performing. But after that, he brought his son and admitted him in the madrasa, and he became Hafiz in the madrasa. And till today, he makes many namazes in the madrasa. So many of them, they changed completely. After the court case, one day I should go to Krugersdorp town masjid for Juma. So when I went there, I saw that one person in the third surf right at the end is sitting and he's mumbling something. So I say, this person got a problem with me. He's to what I'm talking, he's like giving jawab and he's angry about it. So I say, it looks like he's going to cause a problem. After namaz finished, I was walking out, Abad, he walked to me. So I say, now he's going to start a problem. And he by his looks also, that he's like of that group. But when he came, he said, Maulana, what our Maulana, so what is the love of Nabi? You people, what the bayan. Oh. He was praising the bayan all the time. And he was so impressed with the bayan. And just our simple, straightforward talks, nothing, something so special. But he was just overtaken by all that. That our ulamas, they don't even know what is Ishtar Nabi, what is Muhabbat-e Rasul. You people know. So, alhamdulillah, with all that court case, many of them, they came onto our side. And they fully support, till today, this full support they give. So, that was to clarify that they try and spread this, that me particularly, I'm a murderer, and I got blood on my hands. But in court it was proven. And the court case lasted 2 years. And a public court case. Also one day their big ulama, Maulana Abdul Hadi and I don't know who, that time their big ulama, they came also as state witnesses. And to give expert evidence that what Barilwism is about and that. So just outside the courtroom, on the other side, there were little cubicles. And they were sitting there. I came to know how Allah gave me himmat, I still can't understand. I knew them, and they were sitting there. I didn't know them personally. And I stood there, went there, and arrogantly, I put my leg on the one bench, and put my other, and I looked at them, and all their discussions. What you people are saying? What are you talking about? They were about 5, 6. I was alone, I didn't go with anyone. And they looked at me and just, they couldn't speak after that. Mm. And after that, the evidence also, very puss-pussa. They spoke like a very, low-toned everything. So where, and Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, At-takabbur ma'al mutakabbirin tawazun. To show your arrogance and pride with those who are proud is actually tawazu. And it is faras for you to show that then. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that if a Pakistani soldier is fighting against India, he can't go and tell them, Hakir, Fakir, Abdul Qadir, aap se larne ko aaya. Their tawazu is haram at that time. There to keep your moustache nice and big and to show your power and force is faraz at that time. So, alhamdulillah, Allah gave that tawfiq. So, these few things now for now should be sufficient.
Can I tell my part of the court case?
Mm-hmm.
Can I say my part of the court case? A group came to me in my surgery. He says, you look like one of the people that they are accusing. You look just like that. Come and present yourself for the identification. If they pick you up, then they know they are on the wrong. But they came and I went there. And they looked at me. They just passed by.
And Allah's fadal, alhamdulillah, Allah gave not just one, but few other opportunities to go to jail. Not for any other acute, but for the deen of Allah. And the sunnat of the Anbiya, sunnat of the Aslaf, Allah gave us a small share in that also. And alhamdulillah, when we were in the jail, they locked us up that first night. Only for one night, what they planned, that on Friday was the identification parade, that we will stay in jail till Monday at least. Then you can go and apply for bail. But Allah made it by Saturday. We came out. And so when we were in the jail, 24 of us. 12 were students and 12 were other residents of Azadwa. Of which were about 6 were ustads and 6 were other residents of Azadwa. And there, alhamdulillah, everyone was happy. The night also, nobody was like sad or anything like that. And the people of Azadwa, the woman, the man, they came with food at night, they came with beddings at night. The police got worried that these people, we can't keep them here. These are, they, we have to send them out as soon as possible from here. Any questions, anyone? Especially about why I went to university. and what my stand is. And I made many times public ask for maaf for to Allah for having gone to university. But I went with that intention and I was sent there that perhaps they will accept Islam. But when we saw it's not like that, alhamdulillah, we... So that line, and some people say now he talks so much against schools and that, but he went to university himself. So that. And the other is about this Barelvi issue. So if anyone got still any other, there are many more things also to talk, inshallah.
So when's Poonam coming back?
Coming back?
To speak about the other things.
Where? To come back to?
Yeah.
You, yeah?
No, but I didn't do any irrigation of pubs in Marseille. Yeah.
Let me explain this here, what doctor is talking about. This, we were not there personally. We spent a lot of time in France.
We'd like to come back and explain that.
Yes.
And trip to Mauritius and Madagascar and the priest who built a masjid for the Muslims.
Oh, mashallah.
There's a lot of things.
You know it all, doctor.
I don't know it.
You'll tell them.
My memory is not so good now.
There's about the pubs in France. When we went also, every day our ghost was in the pubs.
Hello.
You couldn't meet all Arabs only, from Arab countries. But you couldn't meet them in the hotels, which they call foyers, French word. But if you want to meet them, you have to go to the pub. That's the only place you can meet them. And the pub is owned by a Muslim also. So when we should go, then we first speak to the owner and ask him permission. And always they gave us permission. And then we should speak, and then they should be sitting at their tables and that, and we should give our bayan. So one other jamaat before us went. And they were giving their bayan. And one person became very emotional listening to the bayan. And the beer glass is a thick glass, not thin glass. And this person was holding it. But as he became emotional, his grip was getting stronger and stronger until the glass broke in his hand. When he broke in his hand, blood, everything. So the Jamaat people thought, when we came, we gave kashd. Now we offered him no family life. Come with us to the masjid, we'll look after you. So he went with them to the masjid. And there the person who was looking, who was giving the da'wat also, in that discussion they came to know, this is my father. From Algeria or Tunisia or something. 20 years, 25 years ago, he left home to come work here. Mother said, one letter we got from him that he reached safely. After that, no contact. This boy was just born that time. It was his son. He wasn't still born. He was still in the mother's womb. But he got born. He grew up. And then he came here in Jamaat now. And Allah made it father and son. They don't know we are father and son. But when he was looking after him, came to know. Oh, what happened when they came to know, you my father, this is my son, as they spoke and the reality came out. So that kashd should have great, great effect. Doctor is speaking about that that priest who built the masjid in France, Abdul Halim or Abdul Hakim or Abdul Rahim was his name. When we went, we were in Jamaat in Raiwin, then he gave a talk there, he came and he spoke to us. He said when he was still a priest, he loved Islam so much, he built the masjid for the Muslims. After building it, he gave them the keys. Gave them the keys, but then they started fighting. Who must be president? Who must be treasurer? All that. And no ibadat and that carrying on. He took the key back. I didn't give you build a masjid and give you keys for all fighting in the masjid. I give you the ibadat. I love that. So anyway, he gave us three advices there when we were in driving. First, his advice, he says, your Islamic clothes, never abandon it. He says, you people don't know, but we as Christians, the way we admire you with these clothes. And one, what I experienced when I just came back from Primrose, I had to go to Germiston to teach. I traveled by bus, the municipal bus. So the bus stop where I should get onto the bus, the first 2-3 days, there was an African woman also who was there, and the two of us, we should get on. Second or third day, I think she asked me, are you Jesus Christ? Because of the clothes. They also have this there. the clothes of the pious, but this is libas of the sulaha. It's in the kuffar's heart also. That this is the clothing of the pious people. So he said, never, and he said the effect it has in our hearts, we get very impressed with it. The beard, even Jesus, how they picture him also, they picture him with a beard. They picture him with the kurta. He said, you people are more closer to Christianity than what we are. The second he said that your adhan, you people don't realize what effect it has. We are thrilled with the adhan. What the call, they don't know Arabic also. But he says, what the effect. And on our side, as ulama, pious people, we in the masjid, we pay no respect to the adhan. And how many Hindu women particular, but Hindu people, they want to stay near the masjid to hear the adhan. And where they complain about the azan, it's not them. Some Muslim people tell them to complain. That the azan is a nuisance, na'uzu billah, etc. Otherwise, the azan is a very great thing. And the third, he said, make your namaz at when you are at the airports, bus station, railway station, bus stop, make it in public. And make it with jamaat. The effect on namaz has got one imam. The 8, 5, 3, 4 people behind you, all unison, ruku, sajda. There's no military training that has got that precision which our namaz has got. And so he says, and that namaz, it has a great, great effect. And how many people accepted Islam just by seeing the namaz? And the jamaat namaz even more. We can't see it, but they see it this year. So, and why at the airports, once we were in Tanzania airport with the family, and namaz time, so I started making, immediately one official came, there is a place to make namaz. It was very small and awkward place, but we got a private. Why they don't want you to make namaz in public? It's such a da'wat of Islam. So we happy that they gave us a jamaat khana at the airport. They gave us special. It makes it easy for us, wuzu, everything. It does make easy for us. But the object is to hide your namaz. Namaz is the biggest da'wat of Islam. And your adhan you call out, and must not be shy to call out the adhan also. Anything else? Mali Adil, what? Breakfast is ready. Smell of the eggs are coming. Acha. Yeah, this Professor Nudia, who was the head of the Islamic seat in Rao, they're not only professors, they're big padres in the church, they top people. So one day it slipped out of his tongue, you can make out. And he told me that as long as you people have got your maktab system, you will be in existence as a Muslim community. The day your Muslim, your maktab system is not there, you will be in existence as a professional community, business community, any other type of rich people, whatever, but not as a Muslim community. He said, and he told the maktab is the backbone. In about 95 or so, all the Christian missionaries had a big seminar in Cape Town for the whole of Africa. In there, one person read his report. He says that those people who went to maktab, we couldn't break through them. But those who didn't go to maktab, we could convince them and make them Christian. But those who had maktab and many other people who became government officials later in their life, but they had maktab, they were in favor of the Muslims. This maktab, Allah make that, especially the ulama, and maintain it also, not with the new modern coloring system and joining the dots and not all that. Straightforward, our takhti, our yasirn al Quran or whatever kitab, and yet Quran Sharif, when we were small, it was still common that especially for girls, what is the ta'lim? Quran. The minute they have read Quran, the ta'lim is completed. The barakat that they score in Quran Sharif. Just read every day Quran Sharif. In our houses have Quran. In our cars read Quran. In our shops read Quran Sharif. Once I was by Dr. Mayat in Polokwane. And we ate there afternoon. I went and sleep. He gave me a room just next to his surgery. His surgery was attached to his house. I was sleeping, but the whole time from Zohar till Asr, I could hear in my sleep, he was reading Quran Sharif one way. He was a lover of Quran Sharif. And he established Hibs class. Children come, go walking, bring them from their house. Go to the sports ground, catch them there. Bring them, come learn Quran Sharif. So Quran Sharif is very, very, very important. So Quran Sharif, the namaz, adhan, and our Islamic identity. I used to eat one time, make tashkil for people who go for holidays, go to the Arab countries, Morocco, where they've modernized so much. Go with your wife, and just your dressing is enough a dawat for Islam. Anything else?
I had on the mic, then the newer areas where people are going to, they're not maintaining the Adhan, taking on the receiver route and all of that.
So Adhan we should give, if the government laws don't allow it, people object. Don't give it over the mic, but give it loudly outside. And let that voice go on top of the roof as high a position you could. And from there, without mic, but give your azan there loudly. That azan will have much. Today we're giving the azan in the masjid, on the mic. People are there in the masjid for what? You're giving them azan. They have come here already. Azan must be given to call the people from outside to come to the masjid. And we're not that type of people that we say da'wat is, you can't give, you da'wat you can only give in the masjid. Da'wat is given out of the masjid, not in the masjid. Even azan is not permissible in the masjid. Azan must be given out of the masjid. The sound can come in the masjid, but the azan must be given out of the masjid.
And now in the near past, all these things started in our class groups, and many ulama mentioned that Mahapilam itself only got Daluk or the Darul Ulum.
What the government?
Who are the Darul Ulum? He doesn't know nothing about this Jamiat, all of that. He had no Daluk with it. And I said, please explain him.
With the old Jamiat, only our elders, Mufti Sanjali Sahib Rahmati, I remember he said that make him vice president. We're small boys, till we just came, what we knew, we wet behind our ears that time till now. Perhaps you'll say, old age, and we have to wear napkins again. We still got napkins. We're small, we wore napkins, now also we have to, perhaps Allah save us all. So anyway, so he may, for long I was the vice president. The new Jamiat was formed in 94. It's a new Jamiat, it's not an old Jamiat. That old Jamiat is buried and Janaza Namaz is made on that Jamiat. There is a new Jamiat and they never still give Walima also for the new Jamiat. So anyway, not Walima, Akhtiqa, nothing they give. So this new Jamiat, I was a president there also for about 10 years. But then I had to resign. And when did I resign? Once there was a meeting, and I attended the meeting. After the meeting, we had some snacks. We were eating. Meeting was finished. And while we were eating, and something came about, some talk. So I quoted the ayat of the Quran Sharif. Then one alim, he has passed away, Allah give him Jannah, all our marhumin. He said that there he goes with Quran again. I said, if that is the attitude, and nobody even took offense to it, that now he's quoting Quran again. Some public people might say that, but for an alim, and nobody, since that day I didn't put my foot again in the Jamiat offices. That if that is the attitude to Quran Sharif, then that's not where we have, we can't be there then.
Professor told us that
we
want to make you famous.
Yeah. When I was with Rao, one of the professors, once we were in my house in Germiston, and there were 5-6 other friends of ours, ulama. So then we were talking, so he pointed to me, he said, this man, we want to make him famous, but he doesn't want to accept. In other words, sing that song, play to that tune, and they will make you famous. Eh? But all that filth and dirt, where we went to?
Growing up in the 1960s and 1970s, I'm born in 1962. What seems to me that in the 1960s, 70s, our ulama made effort, or everything that our ulama at that time made effort against. Now, I'm seeing, call him liberal ulama or some ulama, whoever, as, even whether it's Miraj Bayans or lot of, many things, TV and all this, this MYM, the youth camp, our ulama was totally, that's the modernist way.
Yeah.
Youth camp. Now we have ulama youth camps then. In the 1960s and 70s, our ulama were against all of those kind of things.
And we're doing all this here.
And now ulama are going in that direction.
One of the senior alims of the Jusa, he told me, he says, nothing has changed. Only what the public was doing before, now the ulama themselves are doing all those things. And around about the 70s was quite a low ebb for the Muslims. In the Haramain Sharifain, Quran Sharif, how we see them now, they were torn Quran Sharif. Not all how it is kept now. After that it changed. Generally everywhere, Islam was at, that was the time when the West made the propaganda that Zamzam water is the filthy sewage water of Makkah Sharif, that Zamzam is right at the bottom in the valley of Kaaba Sharif. So all that filthy, dirty water comes there. Then King Faisal, he was also a very good king, Mashal Marhum. He got an engineer of Pakistan to go and investigate the whole thing. And he went down there and he investigated the Zamzam. How much I can remember of that report, about a 2 square meter area is all where Zamzam is in. Where the water is come, they were baffled. He was his helper, worker. They couldn't, and they found the water is just gushing from the bottom. And as required, water just comes. Water just comes all the time. So in the 70s, things were quite low. When I returned from India, and when I was there in Deoband, it was my very heart's desire, my wife must be in Parda. But it was like an impossible, not even a dream that could be. At that time, in my knowledge, there wasn't a single woman in South Africa who was wearing Parda. But I wanted to ask my one Ustad also, how must I do it? So he said, you go back and you don't speak one word of Parda also. You press your wife's body, make her khidmat, make her happy, so happy, that when you just make an ishara to it, she says, I'm ready. Anyway, then I bought a burqa. And that time in Deoband already, what was the burqa? Knee length. Not till the below ankles, and just knee length. And this also, the top, the niqab, where the ears and all the show, and the jewelry on the ears, all that was visible. And we didn't know, I thought that's burqa. So I bought that and I sent it as a present before man, nikah. And so her mother, Allah reward her, they from India also, and the old fashioned people, when they also came, nobody burqa, they also didn't wear. But she know, she said, this is a rag, this is not a burqa. And she sewed the actual burqa. And as a young girl, she wore it, mashallah. And I remember one of my senior ustads went and visited. So the ustad's wife said, she thought she's in a prison. She's like a slave, burqa, can't walk around anywhere. She said, don't worry, your husband, Maulana, he's just got josh now. And very soon he'll forget all this. Don't worry, just pacified her in that way. But alhamdulillah, family people who became enmity and bitter with me, because like I was breaking family relations because of parda, that now you can't come here, we can't go there. But alhamdulillah, in a short while, Allah turned all their hearts. And the whole family then also started wearing burqa and observing parda. Many friends told me also, you can talk about parda, it's easy, because your whole family all practice. You don't realize in our family nobody practices. So I told him it didn't happen just like that. We also had to go through everything. Then it came about. So till we are not prepared to make that little sacrifices, don't expect deen to come alive. And deen, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, what was the paganism? What evil practices there were? For Nabi alayhi salam to change all that, What then, what he had to go through? And today we got it ready on the plate.
Can I just tell us the different shafqat of the different akabir on Hazrat?
Ji?
The ta'alluq and different shafqat of the different akabir.
Oh. In Dioban?
I think everybody's a bit tired. We will have to have another session.
In Dioban, they had one shura meeting of the Darul Uloom in the last 10 days of Ramzan. Before that, our Shaykh al-Hadith, Muhammad Fakhruddin Sahib, he was the chairman, he was the sadr. So he should come from Muradabad also. So he came for that meeting. When he was leaving, we went and see him off in Saharanpur. Dioban is a small station, Saharanpur is a big station. From there you get the train. So we went and see him off. When we went there, and then Hazrat Khalifa, Khadim, Maulana Saifullah, he told Hazrat is going on this train, and we traveled on the train not long before the train he was going on. And we got on in Saharanpur, and for about at least 2.5-3 hours, we were just hanging by the door. You couldn't get into the coach, so full packed it was. And you can't move, you can't do anything. She said, yes, Hazrat travels third class, no reservation, and Hazrat travels in here. So, and he says that not one namaz Hazrat misses. How Allah makes it easy, all his namazes he makes, and in a standing position. And he was in the old age already, that time near his 80s, and he should make. So I said, how can Hazrat travel like this? Allah put in my heart, I caught his hand, we went back to the ticket office, and gave me the third class, and I said, buy first class ticket. Hazrat didn't know anything. So when he came, and the train came, he took Hazrat to put him in the first class. And he sat with Aram. Namaz is easy. When he came back after Ramzan for the new year, so I went and meet Hazrat again. He was old. It was difficult for him to stand up. He needed support. But he stood up. He embraced me. And I think about 15 minutes, and the duas he was giving. It's only the barakat of our satira and their duas. And Allah, give us that opportunity. Just at the right time, you do the right thing. Allah, give. And that's all from Allah, nothing from us. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, I also remember that Bukhari Jilsani, when we were, then our sheikh should give it over to him. He couldn't manage anymore to teach. And Hazrat should teach, and Bukhari, we also studied 9 to 12 in the morning, 9 to 12 at night, 6 hours every day, besides the Thursday day, which then Friday is off, the rest of the week. Tomorrow you're writing the final exams of Dora, the final, but at night, 3 hours Bukhari Sharif Sabak. So in that, then we should go to, Allah gave me Taufiq, I should go by Hazrat Mufti Sahib before, after Isha, to take him to the Darasgah, carry his kitab, as students, khadims we do. So, I should take ice for Hazrat. So, 1 day, 2 days, then Mufti Sahib told me, this is like you are putting chichre, this not proper meat, just all the other, not the right meat, just for cats you are putting. Because I should buy the ice and put it, and then Hazrat should have to drink it. And the water is not cold, just the ice is on top. Looks like it's cold. So I got the lesson next day, then I should buy the ice before Isha. And by after Isha, then the water is cold. So Allah gave Tawfiq. So then after that, we should come 12 o'clock to then I should go and buy tea and bring it, and whoever is to come, give them all tea. Then all one by one, they should go away by 1 o'clock at night. Then I should press Hazrat's body. One time I remember, half past 2-3 o'clock in the morning, Hazrat was so happy. He took his kurta and with his own hands, he put it on for me. And when I got married, I wore 3 kurtas. One kurta of Mufti Mehdi Hassan Sahib, one kurta of our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Sahib. And Hafiz Sahib's kurta was like our vest. Today we wearing wear maxi kurtas. Hafiz Sahib's kurta was very short, not even knee length. And then Mufti Mehdi Hassan Sahib's kurta. and Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib's kurta. Mm-hmm. 3 kurtas I wore. Mm-hmm. Acha. Doctor says enough now. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.